Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome back to another session in talking about a willing heart, where today we're going to be talking about His will complete in Jesus. And yes, I could have put me complete in Jesus in there, and that's the same is true for you. So I think today is a really good session for us. We're going to look at a few verses, maybe in a little different ways than I've ever taught them before. Because as I was going through, the Lord brought some things to my heart. In fact, we had to make some changes this morning to that. So let's just jump into this today, knowing, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. And we give you permission to speak to us individually. And we look forward to what you're going to do inside us today. And we give thanks for that. Thank you for being sent to us. And we say so in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. So we've been talking about a willing heart, and we've had several verses that we've kind of anchored ourselves in. And last week, we were really dealing in joyful in knowing His will. And we're doing all this because in the last days, we've got a job to do, as Matthew 24:46 says. Blessed is that servant whom his master, talking about himself, when he comes, we're talking about when he returns, will find so doing. In other words, doing the will that the master had left for the servant to do. And that's the whole essence of what we've been talking about. We noticed in Isaiah 1:19, it says, if you are willing and obedient, you'll eat the good or the very best of the land. Now, this one really, and I want you to consider the impact that knowing his will and being willing has. This is concerning David, and it said, and the people saw the willingness of the leadership, David and all his direct reports and leaders in his government. So they saw the willingness of the leadership, they recognized the will of God, and they too gave willingly. And so from 1 Chronicles, in the first few verses, we 1 Chronicles 29, in the first few verses, we see that there is an acceptance of God's will by others when they see leaders willing. And I think that's important. That's something we really miss in our country today, because we don't have anything aligned to where we're both after the same thing. And that's just the division we faced, but we don't give up. We pray. And we also expect, we'll talk about that, how we live in that situation when it doesn't look good, in just a moment. But we also saw that in the 6th chapter of John, I'm going to read just verse 21, they were rowing, the disciples were in the boat, they'd been rowing all night, they had not made it but just a couple of miles. And there was a wind and storm against them, and they saw Jesus walking, and they were afraid. And he said, it's I, don't be afraid. And then 21 says, then they willingly received him into the boat. And what happened? A miraculous event. Immediately, the boat was at the land where they were going. Now, last week, we've again focused on how do I know his will? And what did we see in that? That we got to be willing. In John 7:17, this phrase, if anyone wills to do his will, he will know. And it's really the very simple starting point. And that wills, I'm talking about our will, but it's not just a will to know it for so we know it. It's a will to know so we what? Are found so doing. Now, I want to pick up on another great joy, because when we do it, and we may not consider ourselves leaders or any positions of authority, but the English Standard, and also in 1 Chronicles 29 later on, says, then the people rejoice because they had given willingly. And so what happens? Others will see us. And it finishes by saying, for with a whole heart, and we tie that into our heart, they had offered freely to the Lord. And then last week, most importantly, we saw that we're not alone in this adventure of discovering and walking in His will. Philippians 2:3. And I just want to read this today out of the Wiest or Wuth's translation, 2:13. Because we have a helper, and I just like the way this one says it. It says, for God is the one who is constantly putting forth his energy in you. Now, we'll just pause a minute. Let that sink in. He's putting forth his energy in you, both in the form of being desirous of and of our your doing of his good pleasure, or we could say his will. So his intent is that we know his will and we're doing his will, and that brings him great joy, just like we have joy when we do that. So my being Christ-like, I would say, is both his desire, his will, and it pleases him. It's his pleasure. Now, the not by ourselves part, we talked about a helper. Back to that again. In John 14, 25 through 27, Jesus is saying, these things I've spoken to you while being present with you. He's fixing to go away. He's told him that. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you. And then he said, peace I leave with you, my peace. We saw that the word comforter, the helper, is two words which really means to come alongside and speak into the ear. So we talked about how that could be a coach, one who teaches, an instructor. And that's what Jesus did. But what's he saying? I'm going to send you another just like me who's going to do that in you. And the in you part is literally in us. So today, let's talk about his will and being complete in Jesus. And I want to start with Ephesians 5. We're just going to look at a few verses that will give us some understanding of how we are positioned and why. He says, see to it that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So what we're talking about, trying to follow his will, is wisdom, his wisdom. And then it says we need to redeem the time because the days are evil. And I must confess, when I saw this last week and put it in the notes, it just stirs me. I don't have all the answers for what I'm supposed to be doing. In fact, I've got more questions right now than I had 8 years ago. But I know that this is part of it. And so I'm going to be willing to continue in that until I get the details on the other. And this is true of all of us, no matter what's going on around us. Then it concludes by saying in 17, therefore, do not be unwise, but be wise. And look at what be wise is. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. Again, godly wisdom. Now, before he said that to us, that he wants us to have this godly wisdom, which is understanding his will, and it's for all men, but yes, it's for each of us individually, as well as corporate entities that we may be in the body of Christ, like a church. But verses 8 to 10 tells us our conditions. We were once in darkness, but now, let me say that differently. Read what it says. I added a word and I shouldn't have. For you were once darkness. There was no light in us. But now you are light in the world. Now, begin to get a picture of why it's in the Lord. See why it's important that the world sees our light, because we may be the only light that a person sees. And then it says, walk as children of the light. Well, if we're going to do that, we got to know will, don't we? And then 9 goes on and says, for the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And that's in us from the Holy Spirit. And then it says that we're to find out what the acceptable of the will of the, what the acceptable, excuse me, find out what is acceptable to the Lord. Now, I like the American Standard Version very, very much more than the way New King James even writes it. He says in verse 10, proving what is well-pleasing to the Lord. And that literally means what? His will. Proving what the will of the Lord is. And then what we do? We submit to it and we do that will. Now, this is not the only place we see this type of discussion. In Hebrews 13, verses 20 through 21, the writer says, "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead," so Jesus left them, he was dead, he was raised from the dead, he was on earth for a season, and then he was ascended into heaven to the right hand of the Lord. And so now we have that helper sent to us. So I want you to see this. We say, "Oh, I wish Jesus could have stayed on the earth forever." We'd have never gotten the Holy Spirit. Oh, what a gift. And what a sacrifice to make that gift to us he made. So he talks about Jesus raised from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of his everlasting covenant. So it's through love that we have this covenant. Make you complete. Now, some translations will say perfect. One translation I'll read in a moment says strengthen you. So make you complete in every good work to do what? To do his will. Working in what is well-pleasing. Again, that is his will. In his sight. And how do we do that? Through Jesus Christ. Through our union with him via the Holy Spirit. To whom be glory forever and ever. So it's this covenant love that has precipitated this. But let me read you verse 21 in the Amplified. Strengthen, or complete and perfect, and make you what you ought to be. This is what the Lord is doing to us. And equip us with every good thing so that you may carry out his will. Pretty straightforward, isn't it? While he himself works in you and accomplishes that which is pleasing in his sight. So what is he working in you? Well, the first thing he's working is for us to know his will. Through Christ Jesus the Messiah, to whom be the glory forever and ever, to the ages of the ages. Amen. Or what it literally means is, so be it. So we are to be perfected, to completed, to be strengthened, to do every good work, everything that we is being put in us for us to do his will. And you may say, fully equipped? Me? I have that feeling many times. And yes, fully equipped to do his will. Now, this is a verse that the Lord brought to my heart this morning. And let me just preface it by saying this. This is the Lord's attitude toward us. It is his will, and it's always an increase. And that is what is natural, because where is his kingdom, of which there is no end of its increase? It's in us. So now with that kind of comment, I want to read to you Ephesians 3:20. It's a verse that you're all familiar with, that the Lord is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. But I want to read it in the New Living Translation, and I want you to not look at this as I have tended to look at it most of the time when I read it. And I'll bet I'm not alone, because I'm looking and thinking about, oh, he's able to do all these things and give me all these things and manifest all these promises. But what the Lord dropped in my heart this morning is, I want you to look at this, man, seeing what I am able to do in you concerning my will and equipping you. And this is what it says in New Living. "Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work," where? "Within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." Now, here I'm saying this. The Lord is telling us in this verse, yes, he can do above those things that we ask or think. But it starts with what? Him doing his will so that we're wise, walking in his wisdom, and he's able to make it perfect and complete so that we know his will and have the ability in us from the Holy Spirit, in the person of the Holy Spirit, to accomplish it. Let me read that one more time. Now, all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than you might ask or think. Glory to God. Now, we must settle this that we just read in us. That is who we are in him. And that is his plans and his thoughts toward us. And you say, as I have thought here in the past month, as I've sought the Lord on much of this for my own life, again, this verse has really repositioned me today to get excited about what he's doing in me again. But we must settle this, even when it doesn't look good. Now, I want to read you Jeremiah 29:11. We all like that. But I'm going to get there after I read to you and tell you what's going on. In 29:11, we all like, I know the plans I have for you. It's plans for good, not for evil, to give you hope. But look at when he's, look at what they're in when he's telling them this. Quite the mess. Verse 4 says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, and whom he caused because they were disobedient, and that's the way he had to deal with them. He doesn't deal with us in the flesh this way. He deals with us in the spirit. But they were taken captive in Babylon. Now, what would we normally do? Gripe and complain about the way things are. But I want you to look at what he tells them. Let me summarize it for you. In 5 and 6, he says, you go and build houses and live. Plant gardens and harvest from those gardens. Take wives and become a family. He's saying live life. And it sounds like he's giving them increase, doesn't it? I want to read you verse 7. And I'm going to read this in the Amplified only for time's sake. So after you build houses and live in it, plant gardens and harvest, take wives, and basically he's saying create a family. It says, and seek, inquire for, require and request the peace and welfare of the city to which I've caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it. For in the welfare of the city in which you live, you will have good welfare. So he's telling us, no matter what's going on around you, pray. Be thankful for what he can do to us in the midst of all this, men, because he's about to tell them, I've got a plan for you. So when we're going through these tough times, we don't want to languish in it. We want to get ourselves up and increase in it. And where does that increase start? In you knowing his will for you and what to do and how to do it. And then we get to verse 11. For I know the thoughts I have toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Can I just say this? His thoughts about you reflect or represent his will towards you. His thoughts reflect and represent his will towards you. Now, let me just look at a few more verses to ingrain his good thoughts about us. Psalm 138, verse 8. The Lord will perfect, complete, that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. And then it says, do not forsake the work of your hands. Now, this is the Holy Spirit recording the Lord saying, so that we can declare over ourselves, you're going to complete those things that are your will for me to do. How do we know that? Because we just saw that he's working in us to will and to do his good pleasure. And then he concludes by saying, and I'm going to transliterate a minute here. Do not forsake me, the work of your hands. Do not forsake the church, the work of your hands. That just is exciting to me. As I've heard many pastors say, that ought to light your fire. And if it don't, we need to get that wood dried out, don't we? Psalm 57 verse 2, New King James says, I will cry out to the Lord, to the God Most High, to God who performs all things for me, all things that pertain to his goodwill toward me. Complete Jewish is the best. I call to God the Most High, to God who is accomplishing his purpose for me. Now, we play a role in this. We've got to know his purpose, so we've got to have the will to know his will and then to be able to do it. And it does us no good if we just know his purpose and we don't act. Continue on. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. Now, pause there. We would all say, how marvelous you are, Lord. But don't forget, you are joined with his Holy Spirit, that one called alongside, now inside, to be speaking to us. You have a union with him, and thus you have his nature in union with you. Verse 10 says, I'm one who declares the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done. And he says this, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. Now, the New American Standard for that last part of it says, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. All my good pleasure. I like God's word the best. My plan will stand, and I'll do everything I intended to do. So, we have a question. Will I be willing? Will I have a will to know his will? And then when I know that will I be obedient to it? To believe these verses that he's at work in us, so that when we are willing, everything about his nature, where we've been made, or where we're being made complete in it, we know that he's at work in us to will and to do. I'll just say that again. You know, it's not a matter of will God's will be accomplished. The only question is, am I going to play the role he's called me to play in his good pleasure? Am I going to do the things that he wants me to do to accomplish for him? Now, to do this, we're definitely going to have to walk in some trust. Proverbs 3:5, Amplified. Lean on, trust in, be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind. And I say again, with all your heart, that's in union with his Holy Spirit. Now a part of you in union. And then it tells us, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. My. Matthew 5:48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Now, let me just talk through this for just a moment. As he is complete, in fact, he calls himself what? The I am, the self-existent one. Let me say it this way. There's nothing that needs to be added to him. But as he is, so can I be complete with my union in him. In other words, be made Christ-like. Now, I want to close with just two verses. And then I want us to make a quick confession that you can continue to confess after this is through. In Romans 6, the 5th verse, the New American Standard reads this way. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, and everybody would say, yes, my sins he took on the cross. That's how we died to sin and are being made identifying with him in his death. But look at what it says. Certainly, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So the likeness that we have is not just of Jesus who walked on this earth. This is the Jesus who was raised from the dead, given the glory of God, that we as his body share with him, or let me say it differently, that he shares with us, so that we can be complete, so that we can be strong and do what? His will. You know, 1 John 4 and the B part of 17, as he is, so are we in this world. Now, I've said to you before, as he is loved, so are we. As he is blessed, so are we. So let me say this. As he is complete in his Father, who gave him his righteousness, I too am complete in my union with him. And his will is my will. That's what we need to be able to believe for and get to. So as we close today, I'll say thank you for listening. But I just want to say this to you, and I want you to repeat it. As he is complete, I too am complete in my union with him. His will is becoming my will. Love you guys, and we'll see you next week.